Launched in reaction to a standoff with Saddam Hussein over weapons inspections, the attacks began on December 16, 1998, with a volley of over 200 cruise missiles from Navy ships and Air Force B-52 bombers. The next day, another 100 cruise missiles were fired. On the third night of airstrikes, B-1 swing-wing supersonic bombers made their first-ever appearance in combat. After a fourth night, the raids ended. A total of 415 cruise missiles had been used, more than the 317 employed during the entire 1991 Gulf War. They and 600 bombs hit a total of 97 sites, the major ones being facilities for the production and storage of chemical weapons and those associated with missiles that could deliver such munitions. In part, because U.S. intelligence was able to locate only a limited number of sites associated with weaponry, the strikes also hit government command and control facilities, such as intelligence and secret police headquarters. Some congressional Republicans were deeply suspicious of President Clinton and suggested that the strikes were simply a ploy to undercut the impending impeachment proceedings against him. Yet the raids proved surprisingly effective. Desert Fox actually exceeded expectations, wrote Kenneth Pollack in The Threatening Storm, The Case for Invading Iraq, his influential 2002 book. Saddam panicked during the strikes. Fearing that his control was threatened, he ordered large-scale arrests and executions, which backfired and destabilized his regime for months afterward. Zinni was amazed when Western intelligence assets in Baghdad reported that Desert Fox nearly knocked off Saddam Hussein's regime. His conclusion? Containment is clearly working, and Saddam Hussein was on the ropes. A U.S. military intelligence official, looking back at Desert Fox years later, confirmed that account. Arab allies of the United States were hearing the same reports, and that led them to go to General Zinni with an urgent question. If you do indeed topple Saddam Hussein, what will come next? This is what I heard from our Arab friends out there. You almost caused an implosion, Zinni recalled, and that worried them. An implosion is going to cause chaos. You're going to have to go in after an implosion. The question was, do you guys have a plan? The Arab leaders especially wanted to know what was going to be done to stem the possibility of a massive exodus of refugees into their countries, along with major economic dislocations. Also, they wanted to know, if Iraq disintegrates, what is going to be the Arab world's bulwark against the age-old threat of Iran? You tip this guy over, you could create a bigger problem for us than we have now, Arab officials said to Zinni. So what are you going to do about it? Zinni realized that he didn't have good answers to those questions. So, in June 1999, he had Booz Allen, the consulting firm, hold a classified war game on what such an aftermath might look like, what problems it would present, and how the U.S. government might respond. He asked that representatives not just of the military, but of the State Department and the Agency for International Development also participate. It brought out all the problems that have surfaced now, he said later. It shocked the hell out of me. In the wake of the war game, Zinni ordered Central Command to begin planning in case humanitarian relief operations in Iraq became necessary. But he wasn't able to interest other parts of the government in participating in that preparatory work.